Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI bids farewell to America after an intense six-day pastoral visit. We remember a few of the many highlights of that visit and listen back to the Pope's words during the most salient moments. The President of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops looks back on the Pope's visit to the United States. Father Jim Brand reflects on the founding of the Church and looks ahead to Pentecost.
May God bless America.
Pope Benedict XVI's farewell speech to America as he prepared to board the plane that was to bring him back to the Vatican on Sunday night brimmed over with gratitude to the American people who had welcomed and hosted him so warmly during his six-day pastoral visit to their country.
The time has come for me to bid farewell to your country. These days that I have spent in the United States have been blessed with many memorable experiences of American hospitality, and I wish to express my deep appreciation to all of you for your kind welcome. It has been a joy for me to witness the faith and devotion of the Catholic community here.
It also contained emotionally charged memories from the very busy and intense days that made up his first apostolic journey to the United States since he was elected 3 years ago.
One of the high points of my visit was the opportunity to address the General Assembly of the United Nations. I give thanks for all that the organization has been able to achieve in defending and promoting the fundamental rights of every man, women and child throughout the world, and I encourage people of goodwill everywhere to continue working tirelessly to promote justice and peaceful coexistence between peoples and nations. My visit this morning to Ground Zero will remain firmly etched in my memory as I continue to pray for those who died and for all who suffer in consequence of the tragedy that occurred there in 2001.
The Pope's plane, nicknamed Shepherd One, departed from New York's JF Kennedy Airport to arrive in Rome on Monday morning. Right now, Pope Benedict is resting in the Vatican, after a full schedule that took him to the cities of Washington, D.C. and New York, and during which time he celebrated three public masses, met with bishops, leaders of other faiths, politicians, victims of sexual abuse, gave 16 speeches, and prayed on the ashes of Ground Zero.
O God of love, compassion and healing, look on us, people of many different faces and traditions, who gather today at this site, the scene of incredible violence and pain. We ask you in your goodness to give eternal light and peace to all who died here, to heroic first responders, our firefighters, police officers, emergency service workers, and port authority personnel, along with all the innocent men and women who were victims of this tragedy, simply because their work or service brought them here on September 11, 2001.
Travelling with the Pope in America was the English section's director, Sean Patrick Lovett, who describes the feelings of the faithful as the plane's flickering taillights faded into the distance.
Disappointing. That's how most of the people I've spoken to have described this whirlwind trip of Pope Benedict XVI to America. Yes, I too was shocked. Especially as this is precisely the moment, at trip's end, when we journalists ought to be falling over ourselves as we search for superlatives to describe what, to our eyes at least, has been the most moving, most inspiring, and most surprising of visits. But there you have it. Clearly, you can't please all the people all the time. Apparently it wasn't enough that the Pope celebrated 3 public masses and met everyone it was humanly possible to meet in 5 days, from clergy to clerks, from politicians to policemen. He smiled and waved and reached out to all, from the sincerest Catholics to the simply curious. He gave 16 speeches that touched on everything from faith to freedom, from truth to terrorism, not to mention the overriding theme of the visit, Christ our hope. Through his words and gestures, Benedict XVI said and did everything he could to rekindle, restore, and reinforce that hope in the hearts of all Americans, Catholics and non-Catholics alike. And what to say about the sexual abuse issue? Is there anyone in America who isn't talking about how he came right out and said what everyone had been waiting to hear? As one New Yorker told me after hearing about the Pope's meeting with 5 of the victims in Washington, D.C., if you didn't get choked up, you weren't alive. So why was it disappointing? After all, commentators are unanimous in declaring that Benedict XVI has left his mark on America, no longer as the successor of John Paul II, but as his own man, with his own special charm and charisma, both of which are born of his gentleness and sincerity. How else do you explain the frenzied crowds of normally jaded city slickers who waited for hours to catch a glimpse of his white-clad figure for a few breathless seconds? How else do you justify the 24-hour media coverage or the over-the-top newspaper headlines? Quote, "A heavenly day to be Catholic," "You rock, Papa," and "He's got mass appeal," to name but a few. Of course, people are disappointed. They're disappointed he's not staying longer. Disappointed he only visited 2 East Coast cities that may be big, but they hardly represent the United States of America. They're disappointed because they feel they're just getting to know him, and they want to deepen the relationship, so to speak. That's why people are already talking about the next time he comes, whenever that might be. While we're waiting, papal memorabilia collectors may want to take note. Benedict XVI t-shirts and caps are already going for half price, and apparently they've prompted a flurry of activity on eBay. With the Pope in New York, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
As Sean mentioned, the Pope did in fact meet with everyone it was humanly possible to meet in 5 days. In his farewell speech at the airport, Pope Benedict lingered on 2 particularly significant and poignant memories of this American journey, his address to the United Nations Assembly and his visit to Ground Zero. However many were the significant and moving moments we were regaled with during this all-American trip, Pope Benedict XVI's first to the United States of America. Starting even before he landed, as he spoke to reporters on the papal plane as it crossed the Atlantic on Tuesday, April the 15th.
Really, it is a great suffering for the Church in the United States and for the Church in general, for me personally, that this could happen.
This was to be the first of many times Pope Benedict spoke of the damage that was perpetrated to the victims and to the Church by the child sexual abuse scandal that rocked the Church in the United States when it broke in the year 2002.
If I read the histories of these victims, it's difficult for me to understand how it was possible that priests betrayed in this way their mission to give healing, to give love of the God to these children. We are deeply ashamed, and we will do all the possible that this cannot happen in future. And we will absolutely exclude pedophiles from the sacred ministry. It's more important to have good priests as to have many priests.
Day one in America, that's Wednesday the 16th of April, saw Pope Benedict XVI received at the White House by U.S. President George W. Bush, together with an array of political dignitaries and representatives of the church. During the colourful welcome ceremony on the South Lawn, in front of the Oval Office, the Pope underlined the deep pastoral significance of his visit.
I come as a friend, a preacher of the gospel, and one with great respect for this vast pluralistic society.
On Thursday, the 17th of April, the Holy Father again spoke of the pain caused by the sex abuse scandal.
No words of mine could describe the pain and harm inflicted by such abuse.
These words came during a sermon to the 47,000 people gathered at Nationals Park in Washington, a new sports stadium hosting its first non-baseball event for the occasion.
It is important that those who have suffered be given loving pastoral attention. Nor can I adequately describe the damage that has occurred within the community of the Church.
During the event, Pope Benedict also praised American society, but pointed out that not everyone had gotten a piece of the American dream. To be sure, he said, this promise was not experienced by all inhabitants of this land. One thinks, he continued, of the injustices endured by the Native American peoples and by those brought here forcibly from Africa as slaves. Friday, the 18th of April, was the day the Pope went to the United Nations in New York upon invitation of the UN Secretary-General, Ban Ki-moon. Speaking initially in French to the General Assembly, he said the notion of multilateral consensus is in crisis because it is still subordinated to the decisions of a few. Whereas, Pope Benedict continued, the world's problems call for interventions in the form of collective action by the international community.
The questions of security,
les objectifs
the
de development.
Development goals.
And speaking of the need to protect people against human rights violations, the Pope said that if states are unable to guarantee such protection, the international community must intervene. And continuing in English, the Pope referred to the social causes of terrorism.
The victims of hardship and despair, whose human dignity is violated with impunity, become easy prey to the call to violence, and they can then become violators of peace.
Also on Friday the 18th, after a full mourning at the UN, the German-born leader of the Catholic Church paid a visit to a New York City synagogue.
Dear friends, Shalom. It is with joy that I come here, just a few hours before the celebration of your Pesach, to express my respect and esteem for the Jewish community in New York City.
One of the most eagerly awaited events of the trip took place on Saturday the 19th, when the Pope met 30,000 seminarians and young people on the field of St. Joseph's Seminary. As young Americans, he said, you are offered many opportunities for personal development, and you are brought up with a sense of generosity, service, and fairness.
Yet you do not need me to tell you that there are also difficulties, activities, and mindsets which stifle hope, pathways, which seem to lead to happiness and fulfillment, but in fact end only in confusion and fear.
And he spoke of his own youth and difficulties in Nazi Germany during the 1940s.
My own years as a teenager were marred by a sinister regime that thought it had all the answers. Its influence grew, infiltrating schools and civic bodies, as well as politics and even religion, before it was fully recognized for the monster it was. It banished God and thus became impervious to anything true and good.
The last day of Pope Benedict's American visit was Sunday the 20th of April, during which he prayed at New York's Ground Zero, together with a gathering of firefighters, policemen, emergency workers, survivors and families of the victims of that tragic day in September 2001.
God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of the earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Grant that those whose lives were spared may live that the lives lost here may not have been lost in vain.
Before jetting back to Rome and to Vatican Radio, Sean Patrick Lovett spoke to the President of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Cardinal Francis Eugene George. He asked him for his personal view of the Pope's pilgrimage and what legacy it has left.
The visit of the Holy Father to the United States and to the United Nations, first of all, showed something we all knew, that he's a marvelous teacher. And he spoke particularly about truth in relationship to freedom with educators, in relationship to peace with his interfaith partners, in relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ with the ecumenical partners, truth in relationship to human rights, to the United Nations, which I think is a discourse that will begin a new sense of the mission of the United Nations in the world. So this has been a particularly important visit by reason of the quality of his teaching, of what he has said. But also, the other part of it is the enthusiasm that has been generated. We've seen a dimension of the Holy Father's personality that perhaps many people haven't seen before, not only his humility, his sincerity, his charity, his love for all, especially the victims of sexual abuse, but also the way in which he can elicit such enormous response from young people, and the happiness of a pontiff who knows himself to be a pastor and not only an intellectual, and who, from that perspective, is able to connect with the youngest of his flock. It's been a truly moving experience to be with the Holy Father during these days.
As an American, are you surprised at this incredible response that he has solicited from so many different levels, from a political level, from an ecclesiastical level, and from the people of God, the people out there on the streets today?
Well, somewhat surprised only in the sense that while we knew the quality of the Holy Father, we weren't sure how effectively people would read who he is. So that's been a very pleasant surprise, and I think he leaves the church here in the United States stronger, more united, and certainly he leaves us as bishops with the ability to do our work far more effectively than we have in the past, and we're extremely grateful.
You mentioned the sexual abuse issue, and in a sense that has dominated a certain dimension of this visit. In a sense, also desired by the Holy Father himself, because he was the one who spoke so clearly, even on the aircraft, coming across. And he's brought it up again in so many different contexts, with the bishops, with the faithful, at so many different, with the victims themselves. Do you feel that this means that the United States can finally turn a new page on this issue? Are we looking at a new moment in this regard?
I would hope so, but what's most encouraging for the bishops is that the Holy Father embraced the work that we've been doing for the last several years to try to be sure that every child is protected, and has pointed out that in the context of society where sexual abuse of minors is so prevalent, the Church has done more than any other institution to try to respond to this problem. And then pastorally, we must reach out to those who have been severely affected by this. He has embraced our work and encouraged others to cooperate with us. And therefore, any sense that there is a gap between what the Holy Father wants and what the American bishops are doing should now be laid to rest. And that's a great encouragement to us to continue, of course, and to make stronger our present efforts, but also to recognize that we have to take it into another forum, which he himself has said, namely, why is it that in the society at large, people who are abused, either in their families or in schools or in other venues, are not respected in the same way that victims of sexual abuse by priests are respected and cared for.
That was the Archbishop of Chicago and President of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Cardinal Francis Eugene George. And now, Father Jim Brand, Spiritual Director at the Pontifical Beda College in Rome, reflects on the founding of the Church and looks ahead to Pentecost.
Hello, it's Father Jim. We're thinking of the sixth Sunday of Easter readings, and we'll soon be at Whit Sunday, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit transformed the apostles who were locked up in an upper room. And they were blown out. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an explosion. They were blown out onto the streets, where they found, to their amazement, all sorts of people from all over the world believing, including Samaritans. And really, this was the birth of the Church. I suppose the incubation period of the Church was from Easter to Pentecost, when our Lord appeared and kissed them. When he appeared in the upper room, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, our Lord breathed on them. I presume he didn't go around going, ha, for Peter and ha, for Matthew. If you're breathing on somebody, that's a kiss. And he kissed them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Reconcile people as I am reconciled with you. And those 50 days between Easter and Pentecost are really incubation period, the Church in that upper room. And finally the birth came and they were blown out onto the streets, took a deep breath. And there is the infant Church, very strong. And that same spirit that was given to the risen Lord, who immediately passed it on to us, passed it on to the apostles, who is really our share in God's life. When I talk about the Trinity, whose feast is coming up also soon, I really feel rather dumb. But if one can say anything about it, I think the Holy Spirit is the one who goes on between the Father and the Son. And there are all sorts of things. First of all, there's giving and receiving. In eternity, whatever that means, it's beyond my comprehension, the Father has given everything to the Son. And the Son has received everything from the Father. The Holy Spirit is a gift, donum Dei, the gift of God. Now, in this world, if somebody was the giver, we tend to make the receiver feel guilty. Supposing four people are in the bar and three of them have bought a round of drinks, whether they're driving or not, the fourth person feels in debt to three drinks and simply insists, I have a compulsion. I must buy you all a drink because I can't go home three drinks in debt. Say, whether they're driving or not. Because in this world, we tend to canonize the givers and patronize the receivers. We can make people feel guilty if they receive. But within the Godhead, when the Son receives everything from the Father, he's not feeling guilty. He's given the Father the gift of being able to give. Can you imagine anything more frustrating than wanting to give and nobody will receive? the joy of giving is made by the person who receives. Thank you. Thank you, says the Father, for allowing me to be at my best. Because in my giving my all to you, you've received everything. And having received everything, you, Lord, can give everything. And it's from the Lord's fullness that we've received. So in our nothingness, the Father wants to give us all that he gives to his Son, that Spirit. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, God's kiss, when we receive God's love, we've made God's day. He says, Jim, thank you. I want to give you my all. And without feeling guilty or feeling a heel or demeaned or diminished, you've received everything in your nothingness. Because as Our Lady said, he looks on us in our nothingness, but he whose might has done great things to us, if only we'll be gracious enough to receive. So I really want to say that to receive with grace is as great a thing as to give with grace. Because if we haven't received, we have nothing to give. And generous people are always giving, and their lazy muscle might be receiving. So in the end, they ran out of energy, their larders bare. We can only give what we first received. And so it's for the whole world that we allow God to give to us abundantly, pressed down, shaken together, bubbling over, so that people can save us. It is from our fullness people have received. And I suppose the greatest consent word is Amen. Gratefully, Lord, I accept everything you give me, for me and for others. Okay, there are some people who, when they receive, you have to sort of wring their neck to get anything out of them. It's like a sponge. I'm presuming if we're generous, anything we receive, everyone's going to benefit from it. But it's just that unless we first received, we can't give anything. So between the Father and the Son, there's something to do with giving and receiving. There's something to do with intimacy. I and the Father are one. It is a ravishing communion, union, intimacy. And that same Spirit is offered to us to be intimate with God. I mean, our Lord used words that were given some Freud and people, you know, a lifetime's work to think about. How's this for intimacy? As I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, you remain in me, and I will remain in you, and I shall come to make my home within you. So between now and Pentecost, Whit Sunday and Trinity Sunday, I'll be making some other noises about what's going on with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of intimacy for today, the Spirit of giving and receiving. And next time, we'll think of some other fruits of the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, please, consent and let the Father give you everything he wishes, and that you'll be gracious enough to receive. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back tomorrow at the same time, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.